This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change. Without passion and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Hi, everyone. It's Dave Denton, Turnbuckle Trash, and we will excuse Zane and also Ajay today. Zane has gone on vacation with his family, and when you get a chance to go on vacation with your family, Turnbuckle Trash takes a back seat. I hope they have a great time in Disneyland. Bring me back some mouse ears, guys. I want some mouse ears. We had planned to have Ajay with us today, but I received a note right before this recording that Ajay had an injury, something to his foot, and would not be able to come to us today. So speaking for someone who has a broken bone in his foot and had to have surgery, good luck there, Mr. Juice. So thank you very much for joining us once again here on Turnbuckle Trash. We'd like to thank Chunky Larry and MSR of the Geeks of the Industry for being part of their podcast network. We can also be heard on Stitcher and coming soon on iTunes or at TurnbuckleTrash.net. So what we're going to do today here on Turnbuckle Trash, we're going to talk some news and rumors, some fun stuff, also some troubling information. We're going to talk about some severe injuries that are going to really make a big impact on professional wrestling. And joining us is none other than Chris Evans on Chris on the Mat. Let's get started. This is Turnbuckle Trash.
You think of men with menacing, icy stares that could freeze their opponents cold. Brutes who beat their foes into submission.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
So this is the first podcast of 2018, and I've already made a butt fumble. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I, Dave Denton, the professional radio announcer that I am, I recorded an entire segment with the wrong microphone. I had two microphones plugged in. I thought I was using the correct microphone, and it sounded like I was standing about 20 feet away. I mean, it kind of sounded like I was talking from way out. But I finally figured it out. I finally got everything right. We have new Raw Tag Team Champions, Jason Jordan and Seth Rollins. They defeated The Bar on a Monday Night Raw. I think it was the first Monday Night Raw of the year. Now, the storyline is that Dean Ambrose, legit injury, out 6 to 9 months. So what are they going to do with The Bar and The Shield? Well, they bring over Jason Jordan, who has been kind of an obnoxious, kind of a heel. And now they're having Seth Rollins be his reluctant mentor. I'm telling you, I like the storyline. I like the angle a lot. Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan, now the champions of Raw in the tag team division. Let's go to Championship Wrestling of Hollywood. Over the holidays, they had something called Red Carpet Rumble. Now, this could have been a repeat, but it was on their television program over the holidays. The Red Carpet Rumble is kind of a Royal Rumble type event. It's, you know, where somebody comes in every 60 seconds. And all of a sudden, they announce somebody's name, and I hear, "Excuse me, excuse me." It was Vicky Guerrero. Now, Vicky didn't make it into the ring, of course, but someone from a faction called The Office did. Now, the faction of The Office was being helped by Vicky. And then when the last Office competitor was eliminated, Vicky kind of freaked out and started hitting people with her shoe. Good stuff, huh? Let's talk about The Miz. Rolling Stone magazine has named The Miz as their Wrestler of the Year. Well-deserved The Miz, because, of course, he is awesome. And on Monday Night Raw, he comes back. I believe it was the Raw that was in Memphis, Tennessee. Has Miz TV on there. And thanks Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel for them keeping him alive with the Miz Carols and all the things that they did. The Miz says he's going after Roman Reigns and his Intercontinental belt. Later in the program, The Miz also announced that he is going to be having a non-scripted reality-based show. How many is this for The Miz? Millions. With he and his wife, Maryse, the show will feature The Miz and Maryse as they prepare for the birth of The Miz and Maryse's first daughter. Should be interesting. It's going to be on USA Network. Also, Rolling Stone magazine has put the runner-up wrestler of the year as Braun Strowman. The runner-up wrestler of the year on the female side would have been Alexa Bliss, the 5 foot of fury. Alexa Bliss was my female wrestler of the year. Tag team of the year goes to the Usos. Comeback of the year, Jinder Mahal. The one night only face turn of the year. I had to think about this one. It was more than one night, but Neville, his face turn didn't last very long after he lost the belt to Enzo Amore. And Neville, some reason, got upset and left. Actually left the arena one night. And the rumor was that he wasn't happy about his current booking status, plus some kind of situation that occurred with WrestleMania, where he wrestled on the pre-show, but the pre-show was not included on the DVD release, which meant he got no residual money. It's all going to money. So the overdue title run of the year goes to Natalya Neidhart, much deserved, the most overdue yet to be title holder of the year, Nia Jax. The welcome loss of sanity of the year goes to The Woken, Matt Hardy. His feud right now with Bray Wyatt is going to be a good one. I mean, they both had that maniacal laugh that Juice just hates. But I'm kind of interested in seeing what The Woken Matt Hardy does with Bray Wyatt, the eater of worlds. I myself am the eater of bacon. The best fake on-screen authority of the year goes to the great Stephanie McMahon. I would say one of the best promo people in the business. Most promising youngster of the year goes to Chad Gable. The eeriest entrance of the year goes to Asuka. The most bittersweet exit of the year goes to James Ellsworth. And now Rolling Stone magazine is talking about one of their favorite matches of the year. They call it the most improbably awesome match of the year, and it goes back to Survivor Series when Team Angle took on Team McMahon. Of course, there was the run-in by Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, and then Triple H. To be honest with you, I didn't enjoy the match. It wasn't bad, but a lot of people really liked it. I thought it could have been so much better. And I think if you ask Ajay and you ask Zayn, they were both a little disappointed with that match too in Survivor Series. The actual match of the year, it was that tag team match between the New Day and the Usos at Hell in a Cell. Wow, that was incredible. They had trombones. They had kendo sticks. They had just everything in that Hell in a Cell match. It was my favorite match of the year. One of my favorite matches of the year. I didn't pick it as my actual match of the year, but one of the favorites. And Rolling Stone magazine also gave out a Best Posture Award to Kurt Angle.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess I was just trying to take over the world.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
It's a pile of trash.
We have some injuries we need to talk about in WWE and also in other areas of professional wrestling. One is the Brian Kendrick. He's going to be out for a couple of months in 205 Live. Why? He was injured by Hideo Itami, who's getting a real push now. Itami and the Brian Kendrick were in a match where a kick went wrong, and Brian Kendrick did suffer numerous facial fractures. Samoa Joe has been injured. He has been forced to pull out of the mixed tag tournament. We'll be talking more about that too. That is coming up in this edition of Turnbuckle Trash. Paige has been forced to retire from in-ring performing with the WWE. Remember, she had just returned from a neck problem, and she was a part of her faction, Absolution. Well, in a tag match in Nassau County, Long Island, there was a spot where Paige had her back turned to Sasha Banks. Banks was going to do a move and kick Paige in the back, and evidently Paige did not hear or did not know the kick was coming, and that caused her to collapse several times in the ring. They did bring out medical personnel, did stop the match. She did walk out under her own power, but doctors have said no more in-ring competition for Paige. Now, Paige has been rumored to be part of the WWE anyway because the front office really likes her. And there is one rumor that I said, I kind of like this one, that she might become a manager for Asuka. Now, you got to remember, Asuka is from Japan. She does not speak the English language very well. And that has been a hindrance to Shinsuke Nakamura. But if you had a manager for someone like Asuka, and that could be Paige, who can do the mic work very, very well, could be an interesting situation, keep her involved in the match, or maybe she becomes a commentator. I think the WWE really likes Paige. Then, as you add on top of that, The Rock is producing a studio film called Fighting With My Family. Now, this film, which will be released in the theater September the 14th, is based on a documentary made about Paige's family, the Knights, who have been wrestling and promoting the World Association of Wrestling in Great Britain for many years. Paige actually started wrestling professionally at the age of 13. Now, in this film, one of the film's central characters is named Rhea, which is short for Paige's given name. She's played by actress Florence Pugh, and the film will follow a fictionalized version of Paige on her path to the WWE. Eddie Edwards of Global Force and also in Pro Wrestling Noah has been injured and will be out for several weeks. It happened at a taping for Global Force when Edwards pinned Sami Callihan in a singles match. Now, after the match, Callihan was doing his heel stuff. He began attacking the one-time TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Callihan placed a chair on Edwards and hit him with a baseball bat. The bat, however, ricocheted off the chair and struck Edwards on top of the head. A CT scan showed several broken bones in his face, as well as a broken nose, several cuts that needed to be glued shut. Edwards went to Twitter saying, thanks to everyone for checking in. I'm good. Couple of broken bones, couple of cuts, and a sweet black eye. Some days you're the bat, and some days you're my eye. Still to come on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash, we'll have Chris on the mat, and we'll have some other news and rumors coming out from the world of professional wrestling. That's all coming up on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at wpfpod@gmail.com. Again, that's wpfpod@gmail.com.
A new TV deal and a new champion for Global Force. We'll have that coming up in our news segment. But right now, it's time for Chris. Chris on the mat.
It's Chris on the mat.
I'm lost for words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
If a guy didn't get cracked open, he wasn't really wrestling.
Chris.
On the mat.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
Time for another edition of Chris on the Mat on Turnbuckle Trash. Hi, Christopher Evans. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Let's get this party started. Happy New Year to everybody.
Did you bring in the new year like I did with your eyes closed?
Yes, I did. Sure did.
I'm not big on New Year's Eve. Hey, but right around that time, I think it was right after the New Year, if I'm not mistaken, January the 4th, there was a huge event at the Tokyo Dome in Japan, Wrestle Kingdom 12. Now, I know you like New Japan Wrestling, so what did you see? What did you hear?
New Japan Wrestle Kingdom 12. It was awesome to see. The big match everyone was talking about was Alpha versus Omega. It lived up to the hype. I watched it twice. Say this, the torch has been passed from Chris Jericho to Kenny Omega. They both told a great story in the ring. There was one or two butt fumbles in there. One where Omega was on top of the railing and you could see Chris Jericho, Omega had put a table on top of Jericho. And the butt fumble was Jericho lost his hands on the table and had to pull the table back up on him so they could do
it. Oh, I remember seeing that, yeah.
It was a good match. Those two hit it off, and I've never seen Chris Jericho in the ring like that. I think he didn't age at all. He put more years back onto him. But it was a good match. The rest of the card was excellent. Like I said before, don't ask me to pronounce any of the names because there's no way I can. There was also some controversy at Wrestle Kingdom 12. Michael Elkin has been accused of sexual misconduct.
Is this the former Ring of Honor champion?
Yes. He left Ring back in 2016, I believe, and just stayed in Japan, and now there are allegations against him, which that's no surprise with everything that's going on in this world, but this could make his career go bye-bye in New Japan. We don't know yet. They're taking a look into it, but I've also heard that that Michael is probably going to get a contract with another company anyway, so we'll see what happens.
Now, you said that this was Michael Elgin, who was the former ROH champion. Remember, when he was the ROH champ, he had a visa problem, and he couldn't get back from Canada to the United States. So if my memory is correct, they had to take the title away from him from ROH because he couldn't come to this country to defend it.
That is true. He had visa problems, and Michael Elkin wasn't really a draw for them, so, I mean, it wasn't a really big loss for them to have, you know, we'll just take the title off him. He's not what we need to bring in the people, but he is a spectacular wrestler like some of the other ones that they have, and Cody Rhodes, he put on a heck of a show at Wrestle Kingdom 12. I just have one question for him. Who decided to blonde your hair like that?
Yeah, he debuted that in his match at Final Battle with Dalton Castle. And it just didn't even look like him when I first saw him with that bleach blonde hair.
Do you know who he really is? He kind of looked like Dusty.
Yeah, he looked like a younger Dusty and also a better fit Dusty. You got to put that down there. So, wow. So I didn't know he wrestled at Wrestle Kingdom. So was he in a singles match or with the Young Bucks?
I think he's with the Young Bucks. But then I believe that him and Omega had something going on afterwards, and I believe it's time for Omega to take over the Bullet Club, or it's time for Cody to take over the Bullet Club because Cody did something in the ring with a Bullet Club member, I believe. And Omega jumps in and starts just waylaying on Cody, just pushing and shoving, and they're getting nose to nose with one another. So looks like there's a little dissension in the ranks with the Bullet Club, but we'll see what happens there. And like I said, when I saw Cody with the blonde hair, I had to take two looks at it, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
It's not a good look, is it?
I mean, it makes him look like a stripper, a gay stripper or something. I don't know. It's just I can't understand.
Yeah, I didn't thought of it that way, to be honest with you. But, you know, his wife, Brandy, is involved now with a show that is on ETV, I think it is. It's not like Total Divas. This is more of, I think it's Girlfriends and Wives, WAGS is what it's called, WAGS Atlanta. And Brandy oh. Rhodes is going to be involved with that.
Ooh.
It's sports stars, girlfriends and wives are somehow they're related to some sports star. And Brandy Rhodes is going to be a part of that. She's a beautiful, beautiful lady and a pretty good performer in the ring.
Yes, she is. I've only seen her once in the ring, but she is a very, very attractive lady. And she makes a good manager for Cody. I mean, that's just the eye candy for him. And congratulations to Cody for what he's done in New Japan and Ring of Honor. He's finally cemented his legacy. That's good for him. But like I said, when he was Wrestle Kingdom 12, it was very interesting to see him and the Young Bucks together. And I'm not a big Young Bucks fan, so I don't really care for the team. It just, I don't know, too many super kicks in a row. What can you do?
Yeah, that's one of my problems with them. I mean, when they do this super kick party and they'll just devastate people. It looks like they're devastating them four or five times in a row, and then they get right back up. You know, when Shawn Michaels did the super kick, it was one and done, you know, and that was his finishing maneuver. But, you know, it's all different strokes for different folks when you come to what you like and don't like in professional wrestling. But they are very athletic, and a lot of people criticized the Young Bucks and some of the more acrobatic acts in professional wrestling doing more gymnastics in the ring than it is real grappling. So I understand where you're coming from.
That's what makes people happy now in professional wrestling. They want to see all these high-flying, let's do 50 cartwheels, let's do 50 super kicks, and let me chop you in the chest. But, yeah, it's okay. I mean, if that's what you like in wrestling, that's great. I like the old school just like you do. So two guys with a storyline and let them hash it out in the ring. And that was a good thing to watch. But now it's interesting. But like I said, well, New Japan is taking off. They are now, I think, the front runners to lead the charge for Vince. And like Vince said on his little thing on the website, he wasn't worried about New Japan. He kind of shrugged his shoulders and said, okay, I'm not scared of New Japan wrestling. They're nothing. And he's talking about taking more of them. I mean, he just did with War Machine.
Yeah, that surprised me. I saw that you had posted that onto our social media on Facebook. But, I'm a big fan of War Machine, Hanson Rowe, but that has been kind of rumored for months that the War Machine was going to be leaving ROH and the independent scene to come to the WWE. Have they talked about whether they're going to be on Raw, SmackDown, or NXT yet?
No, from what I understand, they could just go straight to NXT. Basically, I think that's what's going to happen. They'll go straight to NXT first, then they'll probably go to SmackDown, or they'll I want them to go to SmackDown so they can go up against, what are those two?
Oh, the Bludgeon Brothers?
Yeah, I would love to see those two go at it. That would be a heck of a match.
That would be fun. But in NXT, you've got a big team, Paul Ellering's team, the Authors of Pain. That might be an excellent matchup for them, too.
Well, War Machine reminds me of Action Smash and Demolition, just without the face paint. I really think War Machine's going to be good with the WWE, but I've been really surprised with everything that's been going on with professional wrestling, even with the NWA going over to TNA, if it's possible. That's going to be interesting to see. But
yeah, you had said they were in negotiations or they were going to supply some talent to the NWA now? I mean, to the Global Force?
Also now, TNA, this is breaking news. I think you may have seen it too. TNA has a new channel now. They're not going to
I hope it's a good one.
I hope it is, too. I just saw it a few minutes ago, and it's supposed to be the TIFF network or something like that. I can't remember what to pronounce it. They're going over to this network now. Let's see if this one will pay.
Global Force has just struggled. I mean, from the time that TNA, I saw them start struggling, to me, was when Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan kind of took over there. I started seeing a lot of problems in that organization. I don't know if it's just that I'm not a big Hulk Hogan fan or what, but that's where I think a lot of those problems emanated from.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's called the channel is set to arrive on Twitch.
Twitch TV.
Twitch TV. Twitch. That's it.
Okay. Now I've heard of that one. Okay. Twitch is not really a TV channel. It's more of a streaming channel. The House of Hardcore that our friend the MK Bandit is performing on now, who hopefully will have some more interviews with him soon. We're trying to set something up to talk to him because he's been doing some of his managerial chores at the House of Hardcore and actually performed in the old ECW arena, and I want to talk to him about that. That would be kind of cool. So it is Twitch TV, and that's where they're going to go. So that will make it easier to get the product because you can go to Twitch TV, and when they make that switch over, you'll be able to just go on your computer, your phone, and you'll be able to get access to that programming, I believe. So that's kind of good news for them.
Yeah, it is. And then with their new Global Force champion with Austin Aries, which was a kind of a shock that they did it. They just bring him in for that one night and they make him champion. But that's okay. And getting back to what you were saying about Hogan, I'm not a big Hogan fan anymore. I'm not a big Eric Bischoff fan. After what they did to WCW, TNA made the biggest mistake when they brought in Hogan and Bischoff. They yeah. should have known after a company, a billion-dollar company, goes down like that and you decide, hey, what the heck, let's bring these two leeches in and see what they can do. No.
Well, my problem when they got over there, and this is just my opinion, was as soon as Hogan got there, it became an old boys network. It was like, oh, let's bring in the Nasty Boys. Let's bring in some of the ECW originals. And, you know, it just didn't work. I mean,
well,
it just didn't work for me. I just didn't like it.
From what I understand and from what I've heard on another podcast about that is Hogan had a Hogan and Friends tour that was going around that didn't do too well in the UK or was in Australia, one or the two, and he promised them all these wrestlers jobs, so what the heck, I'm going to have TNA, I'll just bring all you guys over with me. Well, that's fine and dandy. Some of those guys didn't belong. I mean, who wants to see the Nasty Boys? I mean...
Well, especially at that time, Knobs could barely walk.
Yeah.
You know, he was really struggling.
And who wants to see... who wants to see the old guy? Say hello to the old guy. Or, I mean... Who wants to see that? Nobody. They want the young talent, but that's what Hogan does. He goes in, he buries young talent, and he pushes himself. So I don't know if TNA's. Hopefully this channel will work for him. I hope it does with the NWA. Let's see what Billy Corgan do with the company. Maybe he might be able to help them.
And you also forgot to say that Hulk wanted to push his daughter, Brooke. Remember, she had that little bit of a singing career, and then she actually had a relationship with Bully Ray.
Yeah,
I mean, that they played up on TV, but they actually did have a relationship. And it just didn't work for me, you know, and I'm not trying to be too overly critical. Once again, I say it didn't work for me. I just saw it as an old boys network that kept on bringing in people that you could tell were well past their prime. Ric Flair was on that tour you were talking about. This was after the retirement match with Shawn Michaels, and he performed in Australia, and then he shows up on TNA for a while, too.
It's been interesting what TNA has brought to professional wrestling. It's brought in a lot of naysayers. It's brought in a lot of us fans scratching our heads going, why are you even on TV? And there's a lot of people who are saying, okay, I want my money. You need to pay me. And Dixie Carter is if you look up the in the dictionary of buyer, it says buyer's remorse. There's a picture of Dixie Carter. Yeah,
she put a lot of money into that company. So, but anyway, Chris, so Wrestle Kingdom was a success for you, huh?
I loved it. It was like I would watch Wrestle Kingdom over WrestleMania any day. It was done correctly, and
even that stupid headset that Kenny Omega had on his head when he came in.
Okay, that's another part I didn't like. He looked like a I thought he was Mega Man at first when I thought I was looking at a video game.
I was going, what in the world is that man wearing on his head? Yeah, they could have done that part a little bit better. But, hey, it might have worked in Japan. It just didn't work for me in their good old United States of America. You know what I'm talking about?
There was one where he did an entrance, I think entrance one time, where he did the theme of Terminator. Here too, and he had the face, looked like he had the robot, like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You see the red eye in the middle, and it was a great entrance. But this one right here that he did, I don't know who was smoking the hopium that night. They said, hey, let's put something on your head and give you a gun. That's something kidding me. But
I'd also heard that Kenny wasn't real happy with that part of it. I think he wanted to do another Terminator type entrance, but that was kind of shot down because of the cost of it. But you know, anyway, you know, that's why we do the pods, because we sit here and we give our opinions as fans and not experts. And I've actually had some people tell me they appreciate the fact that we don't put ourselves off as an expert. We're just fans, and that's what we are. So. I think it's a lot of fun to keep it in that perspective and just say, you know, it just didn't work for me. If it worked for you, fine, you know?
Yeah, if it works for you, that's wonderful. If it doesn't work for me, I mean, that's the best thing about being a fan and having a podcast like this is something may work for you, but in the long run, it may not work for me, and that's great. We'll debate it real quick, and we'll part friends, and if that's the way it is, so be it, and we may come back on the next podcast and say, look, we have a problem here. We need to talk about this match now.
You know what it reminds me of real quickly before I let you go?
Go ahead.
In the WWE right now, the woken Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt, Juice has been, he just goes crazy when they have in the middle of the ring that laughing contest where they're both doing their maniacal laughs, and I don't think Juice likes that at all.
I just want to know why I understand why they're doing the woken instead of broken, but do you like the woken theme with Matt Hardy at all? Do you like it?
I think it was cleverly done because the lawsuits about the broken Matt Hardy. I think that if they'd have waited much longer, that by the time the lawsuits are all over with, that the gimmick would have been dead.
I agree.
I think that whoever came up with the woken idea, to me, it's going to be gold, because they're going to be printing up a lot of T-shirts, delete T-shirts. They're going to be a lot of the laughing image of Matt Hardy on the front of the face. Saying delete, and then the woken gimmick, and it might even revitalize a little bit for Bray Wyatt with the Fireflies. And you and I both still say they need to bring in a female character as Sister Abigail. They just need to do that.
Well, the Sister Abigail is gone, and it's over with now because they had their chance to do it. They should have done it with ODB or. They should have done it with another female, or it could have been Paige, but that would have been good. But no, it's fine. You all want to play around and say Sister Abigail is nothing but in Bray Wyatt's head, and he puts on female dresses and dance around and whatever. That's fine. So.
And then they couldn't even do the gimmick because of all the illness in the WWE at the time. Bray got sick, and And that's when Roman Reigns got sick and all that. And then they couldn't even finish up that gimmick.
Well, yeah, they couldn't finish it up, and then they just let it die off. And I think they were having a good time with Randy Orton. And I liked the thing with Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt. It was good. But it's all going downhill. But like I said, Wrestle Kingdom was fun. I can't wait to see what's going on with Raw and SmackDown. I haven't kept up, haven't had a chance. The last thing I saw was Kurt Angle and Braun Strowman talking and fixing to go to Braun Strowman's hometown here in North Carolina very shortly.
Oh, that's cool. And yep. Then, of course, you know, they're getting ready for the Royal Rumble on the 28th, I believe it is. And they've announced the that they're going to have the women also competing, 30-woman Royal Rumble. But Paige is already out because she's been forced to retire. And are not necessarily just an in-ring retirement. They're saying that she might have another role behind the scenes because all indications are that she's very well thought of by Titan Sports. So I think that's going to be interesting to see what's going on. It's going to be a great year, my man.
Yes, it will be. I can't wait. And thanks for putting me on the podcast for the 2017. I really appreciate it. It was fun to listen to. And y'all have a wonderful year. Let's see how many more people we can get onto the podcast.
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
This isn't a social event. This is a competition where there's one winner. You don't see the outfits before a fight playing with jacks and juice boxes. No, they talk trash and they beat the crap out of each other.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
In some news from the world of professional wrestling, the first inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame for this WrestleMania class is none other than Bill Goldberg, the former Universal Champion, a former WCW champion, also had a short run in the WWE. Bill Goldberg, who Zane got to see in his first television appearance live in Salt Lake City. What a great addition to the Hall of Fame Bill Goldberg will be. Something going on right now is the WWE Mixed Challenge. It started last week. 12 teams will be vying for some money to go to charity. Now, this will be going on. It actually started last week. Will be going on for 12 weeks. The teams are mixed, male and female. So here's the list of the teams you're going to be seeing. Alexa Bliss and Braun Strowman will be playing for Connor's Cure. Charlotte Flair and the Glorious One, Bobby Roode, will be playing for Girl Up. Sasha Banks, The Boss, and Finn Balor for Special Olympics. Real-life couple Lana and Rusev will be playing for Global Citizen. Also another real-life couple, Naomi and Jimmy Uso, for the Boys and Girls Club of America. Coleman Fund will be represented by Nia Jax and Apollo Creed. Asuka and The Miz will be teaming up together for the Rescue Dogs Rock. And Alicia Fox takes on Goldust as her partner for Higher Heroes USA. Bayley and Elias will team up for AmeriCares. Natalya and Shinsuke Nakamura take that juice for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Becky Lynch, Sami Zayn for UNICEF, Carmella and Big E for Kaboom. The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon will have a special post-Super Bowl edition on February the 4th. Making an appearance on there will be Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Pro Wrestling Sheet has received a statement from Roman Reigns about a recent interview in which he was tied to steroids. In that story, the distributor who's in jail, Richard Rodriguez, said a former client was none other than Roman Reigns. Reigns in a statement says, "I've never heard of Richard Rodriguez or the Wellness Fitness Nutrition. I learned from the mistake I made nearly 2 years ago and paid the penalty for it." The Glorious One, Bobby Roode, got his first taste of WWE gold. He's the United States champion, beating out Mojo Riley and Jinder Mahal in the finals of that tournament after Dolph Ziggler left the title in the ring. WWE Hall of Famer Edge is back on television. He's part of the History Channel, the show called Vikings, which is on Wednesday nights, Eastern Time at 9 o'clock. Be looking for the name Adam Copeland. I watched some highlights and he didn't really look like himself, but you'll see Edge on that show occasionally. And we have Impact. We talked about it a little bit during what happened in Chris on the Mat. Impact Wrestling is now going to be part of Twitch TV. It's Twitch.tv/Impact Wrestling. There'll be 24 hours of programming, and also they will be having a weekly program that is on the Twitch TV. Austin Aries defeated Eli Drake for the Impact belt. I love Austin Aries, but I also love me some Eli Drake. WrestlingRumors.com says Alberto El Patron has apologized to Triple H over comments he made blaming Triple H for the release of that sex tape of his then-intended, yes, they were engaged at the time, Paige, that sex tape with Paige and Xavier Woods, saying that he had regretted his words he made about Triple H and the WWE. Also, left the door open for a possible return to the World Wrestling Entertainment. The Jimmy Fallon Show had a lip-sync battle pitting Stephanie and Triple H against Fallon and The New Day. Fallon and The New Day did Motown Philly by Boyz II Men. Steph and Hunter did a song for Moana. And absolutely hilarious the way Hunter Hearst Helmsley played it up when he was lip-singing. Jey Uso is facing some serious charges of DUI in Hidalgo, Texas. He posted bail. That's all we know about it at this time. And on TMZ, the Hulkster, Hulk Hogan, made news again. He was asked about running for public office. He said, not at this time, but did not rule out a future run for the office, maybe of governor of Florida. Yeah, Hulk Hogan did say that if he ran, he would win. Now, Brooke Hogan made a statement that she'd rather see her father back in the ring than being a politician. Ooh, let's see. Hulk Hogan in the ring, politician. Either way, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
I mean, it makes him look like a stripper, a gay stripper or something. I don't know. It's just, I can't understand.
No, 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 no.
If you look up the in the dictionary of buyer, it says buyer's remorse. There's a picture of Dixie Carter.
And a sweet black eye.